The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
No. There's been a mistake, you see.
Excuse me. What Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Austin. Dr. BJ Perry.
Clinical muscle starts.
This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I am your host, BJ Puri. Along with me, as always, the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, are you alive?
Oh, I'm barely alive. Me too. This is the product of lots of stress and busyness in my life lately.
Mine too, man.
A show every three to four weeks, unfortunately.
Yeah, it takes two to fuck it up, though. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's my fault too. Like, I even had trouble even committing to Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. My weeks are so fucking mad, you know?
I know. You're running all around. And man, I think for me, it's just been between work and everything. But really, the big thing for me was just with Stevie's football and then, you know, we came up with this cockamamie idea to buy a new house. And I'm already like, fuck.
Uh-oh. Why'd I?
Like.
Buyer's remorse, huh? Already?
Well, not for that. Just for the fact that it's just I didn't realize how stressful it was going to be trying to sell a house. I forgot. You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you start to think about all the negative possibilities, like, oh fuck, what if this place don't sell? Mm-hmm. What if we don't get enough for it? Mm-hmm. What if I end up with two mortgages? You know, and then
you're gonna end you and Chrissy, you're gonna be tandem stripping somewhere. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh, I'd have to. I don't know what I'd do. I don't know if anybody would pay to see me strip.
There's people. I guarantee.
Yeah, no. It's repulsive. Now, Christine, on the other hand, I don't know.
There's the money maker. She could go out there and shake it. Get some.
She might actually get a few dollar bills thrown at
her.
For
real, she would. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, she'd do.
No, I'm pretty sure that would be all right. But I don't want to have to do that. Our kids would probably be embarrassed and shit. But So it's just like, you know what. It wasn't even – it's not like – you know, the crazy thing is we it's not like we had to move or anything crazy like that. We just – we went through this house and was like – kind of like buying a car. You know how you go there not intending to buy the car, but you're like
– Yeah. Well, this yeah.
And that's it. And next thing you know, I'm doing this, the other thing. And now I got money invested in, you know, that place. So it's like, fuck, you know, someone buy this damn house, you know?
Yeah. So no bites just yet or what?
No. I mean, no offers or anything. We've had a lot of people go through though. Yeah. And nothing negative. I don't know if they're just looking or whatever, but you know. I just got to keep rolling with it, you know, until the realtor tells us otherwise. So.
Yeah, and you've had a bunch of showings then and stuff. And...
Yeah, we just had one last night.
Okay. Yeah.
Just had one last night and had a bunch.
Shit. It's a great place and a great neighborhood. It'll for sure sell. It'll be just the right buyer. It's not gonna be one of those ones that are on the market for like 400 days or something. You know.
I hope not. I'll be fucked.
It won't happen. No way.
But other than that, what's going on with you? What's new? We got a lot of catching up to do.
Man, do we ever.
Where you been at? I think you went away this weekend, right? We were going to try to record Sunday, but you had
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Actually, we just got back yesterday, so we were in Toronto. I was just visiting parents and just talking stuff over with them because I'm ready to cut loose from the family biz. You know what I'm talking about? So we're going to. I'm actually going to be selling all of my property.
No, wait,
here.
Wait, yeah. Wait. What are you talking about? What family biz?
Our family business is in real estate. So, we own many units.
The whole family was in that. Your mom and dad and everybody. Was in
it. Oh, it's a family affair. Yep.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. So, but I'm gonna be selling off my shares and then I'm moving on, man. The plan is to go back and finish up my BSN degree that I started working on a while ago, like maybe 2-3 years ago. Here's what happened. I was in the program, right? And I was finishing my courses, and I had like 16 months left or whatever, you know, because I had started it. My dad ended up picking up another like 50 units from a property in Windsor over the river over here.
50 units? Is that like 50 apartments?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And he was just like, oh, and I need help. I got to have you manage it. I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, now I can't finish up the school. I got shit to do. You know what I mean? And lucratively.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, lucratively, it worked out pretty well. But I mean, if for my own psyche and my own brain, this shit was just it's falling apart, man. I need to just follow my heart and go back and get into the healthcare industry some way, some shape, somehow. You know, it's the only thing that calls my name. So
exactly,
yeah. So
you just made an announcement.
Yeah, that, I guess I didn't want to make any kind of like formal announcement. I just wanted to just play it low. You know, just play it low and just do my business, and then.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then all of a sudden, hey, I'm an RN. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm an RN now too. So
right, yeah. I heard you mention it on the Nerds, and I was like,
probably had the wheels turning. You're like, he's going back to school.
I was thinking that I was going to actually, you know, text you and be like, you can't make an announcement and not tell me.
Yeah. No, I didn't make
but
it.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait till he's ready to say something to everybody. So that's cool, man. So
yeah. Yeah,
so you won't have to deal with bed bugs anymore
No bed That's bugs, great. No fires, no shootings, no drug addicts hiding in the attic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's funny, though, because I make a lot of fun of my property and stuff. You know, I always say, they're just, you know, these ghettos or whatever. The truth is, they're not ghettos. They're actually pretty nice complexes that are.
I saw Scott said that other day. He was like, yeah, you undersell yourself. You said, because they're probably beautiful. They're probably go.
Well, the ones in Iowa were run down because I had a shitty manager in there for 3-4 years. It just really let it just fucking fall apart. So I'm still playing catch up over there. But as far as like quality goes, those are the nicest on the block. Promise you. You know what I mean?
Do me a favor. Tell your dad to buy some apartments real quick in Delaware. Because I may need a place to live if I sell this house too soon.
I'll set you up. I told you, man. We got a princess suite. We've got the B&R basement gym down here. You got a place to crash if you ever get upside down in your new build.
Oh, God. And that's the thing. You know, it's this – it hasn't even really been all like, there's really nothing for me to be like, it's still early. I'm really shouldn't be stressing too much. But that stress, it's boiled over and it's dumped over into, you know, my training, my diet.
I'm in the gym. Dude, it's like when you spill grape juice on a white tablecloth, it just goes fucking, you know, it starts small, but man, it just soaks right on through to everything else. So I hear what you're saying. It stresses you out in all facets of your life, man. You're not set up for that entrepreneur bullshit. You know?
No. Yeah. No, I'm in the gym and I'm you know, laying there with the dumbbells in my hand doing reps, but my mind's really thinking I want to look at my phone to see if my realtor said we have a buyer, an offer.
Yeah, another showing or an offer.
It's all day. It's like I'm obsessing about it, and then next thing you know, you're eating Christmas Captain Crunch because. Because you're getting upset about the day.
Is that out? Did they release that? Is that a thing now? Christmas Captain Crunch?
Oh, it's a thing, all right. It's a thing, all right.
Explain real quick. What's in it?
Like, it's crunch berries, okay. but they're little red, like, Christmassy stuff, okay. And reindeers and balls, and they're very delicious.
What about the crunch pellets? They don't have the crunch pellets in there?
No, they're there. They're like Christmas colors.
Oh, they're Christmas colors. Okay, so they made a food that was really fucking terrible for you to begin with, and they made it worse, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good.
But I've had to try it because of my stress level, so I'm using that as my excuse for stress.
You're getting it's like, oh, God, I need some good feeling. Give me some dopamine. I need some sugar, something.
Yeah. It's just, and then, you know, what makes it – you'll definitely understand this. Makes it worse with the dogs because – when someone wants, our house is always like, honestly, Chrissy's I probably talked about this before. Christine is a good housekeeper. She is like over the top OCD. So our house, literally within two, 5 minutes, we could have this place ready for a showing. Yeah. It's always looks good. You know, like the realtor walked, in our house when he first came over and was like, I don't need to tell you to do anything to your house. Like most people, he's like, I have to tell them they got to paint this or they got to fix that or you got to clean this or you got to walk that. You know, he's like, your house is ready, you know, and then, and it's like that most of the time. But the big stress is like, okay, we got to make sure that we're all around because the dogs can only go in the truck, my truck.
Yeah.
Right. They can only fit in there. Then you got to figure out where you can go for, you know, if you have an open house, it's 2 to 3 hours, or if you have a walkthrough, it's just an hour, which what we've been doing is basically getting in the car and driving around town for, you know, you know, and then, you know, okay, got to get the dogs out. Got to do this. Got to make sure this, it's just, whoo wee. That shit's stressful, man. So I'll,
I know.
But the light at the end of the tunnel is, I'm pretty sure we'll be okay selling the house. Now, I mean, we might have to drop the price if it comes to it. It is what it is. I mean, it is what it is. So, but, you know, March isn't that far away, and that's when our other house is supposed to be done. So, kind of longer that we don't get a buyer. And he warned us when we first, a couple weeks ago, when we put it on the market, he said, look, we got a couple weeks here where things are going to be really hot.
Yeah.
He said, then it's going to slow. It's going to slow down around the holidays.
It always does. Always. That's real estate altogether. November, December are typically kind of rough. It's end of the year. People are crunching their numbers, getting their shit together. And then January, man, it'll get fucking hot again. January, February, man. I think end of January, February is when it's going to sell for sure.
Well, I hope so. But that's what he's saying. So, so that kind of stuff, you don't – little stuff like that, then, you know, I'm going to the gym, trying to still eat good, do all this stuff. You're in the gym and you're thinking about this. And yesterday. Yesterday I was doing chest, and I was having a good workout. I felt real good. And then I get a phone call from my job, and it just fucked the rest of my workout up. So it's been a lot of silly stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But you gotta ride those waves though. So there's gonna be months and weeks where you get that in when you're training and stuff, and then you just gotta get through it and you gotta keep consistent.
That's life. Yeah. That's life. Hey, as long as you can just, you know, trust yourself to go train and have a good time while you're in the gym, it'll all work out. I mean, as far as training goes, as far as bodybuilding goes.
That's, you know, one of them times it's been one of those few weeks where I'm just like going, I'm making sure I'm getting it done.
Yeah.
I probably not making any progress, but I'm getting it done because I know at the end of the, you know, when everything gets settled, you'll be back in a groove again. I hate that kind of shit though.
I know. It's just, you know, a little bit of a rough period. It'll go away, man. It's not so bad. These are first world problems anyways, really.
Yeah.
When you look at the grand scheme of things. You know?
Yeah. I still have a house over my head and food. I'm not living on the street like some people right now. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's what I've been up to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. So training has just been kind of hit and miss at this point with you, and you've been fucking traveling all over the place, going to your kids' football games. And what's Haley up to? Like, I haven't heard it. Everything's Stevie. Stevie's got me going all over the place, going to football games.
Yeah, well, see, she cheers for the high school football team. And that's another whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
because they got to travel and shit too, right?
Yeah, well, they went to Florida last month.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah, they went down there and played a game, got their ass kicked. But, Me and Steve, we were supposed to leave on a mini family vacation tomorrow morning to Tennessee.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Stevie's playing a football tournament down there in Gatlinburg.
Oh, Tennessee. That's pretty, man. That's a great trip.
I know.
That's like McNally's favorite place to go.
Oh, he gave me he told me that if you do nothing else but play football and sleep, you got to go have breakfast at the Pancake Pantry or something.
Yes, that's the one.
He said best sweet potato pancakes he's ever had, I think. So I already told Steven that. We got to hit that up.
He came back from Tennessee, 7-hour trip, right? Gatlinburg. And he brought home like these stale pancakes. They were, you know, And I reheated them, and they were the best fucking sweet potato pancakes I've ever had in my life.
Oh, he brought them home so you could try them.
Yeah, yeah. So they were like, they're like, you know, I had like 12 hours like removed from the time he ordered them, and I still heated them up, and they were still fucking phenomenal. You know, so I can only imagine when they serve it to you hot.
Oh yeah,
unbelievable.
That's gonna be worth it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, totally worth it. I would make that trip for sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's the other thing that here's what happened and blew this trip up. We're going. I mean, it's just me and Stevie going, but it's supposed to be the whole family. So believe it or not, this is how ruthless my daughter's high school football, excuse me, her cheerleading teacher or coaches are. So this is a long, quick sports story. Our high school football team was ranked number one in the state. Last weekend, they had a loss. And that loss was the last game of the season, which took them out of contention for a bye game, a bye week this week, which we, you know, as a family, assumed that would happen because we figured they would have a bye week because they're that good, but they fucking lost. Mm. So now they got a game this Friday, a playoff game in the first round of playoffs. So we're supposed to be leaving as a family tomorrow to go on this trip. We had someone staying at our house to watch the dogs. So I get sent an email to my daughter's cheerleading coach and tell him Haley's not going to be at the game because she's going to be in Tennessee with her brother and her family, and he has a football tournament. And her coach emailed me back, I love you to death. I love Haley to death, but she's going to get kicked off the team if she goes.
No shit. What the fuck?
Fucking ruthless cheerleading.
Wow, that's some cutthroat shit, man.
Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, really? And I was like, well.
How do you play that? How are you going to play that now?
Well,
see, I would. I don't like threats, so my immediate like knee jerk reaction is like, "Well, fuck you, then." She doesn't need your fucking team.
Yeah, my daughter's like, "No, but see, I'm like that, but my daughter isn't like that."
Yeah,
she's like, I'm not losing my spot. Yeah. She's been doing it since she's you know 7 years old. So we went through some stuff where we were thinking we could leave her home by herself for a few days, and we have a friend who was going to stay here. Our friend was going to stay here with the dogs and. I don't know. Long story short, Haley didn't feel comfortable staying in the house with that them people. But whatever. And then we're gonna let her stay home by herself and watch the dogs and have his friend spend the night. And when anyway, what it comes down to is me and Stevie will be driving by ourselves.
Yeah, that's a fair plan, I think. You know.
Yeah, but it would have been more fun with everybody.
Well, of course. What are you gonna do? You got it. Yeah.
You know what's gonna end up happening? Me and Stevie are gonna go down there. We're gonna eat pancakes. We're gonna sleep in our room for 4 days, and he's gonna play on his computer, and I'm gonna watch sports.
Yeah.
And
you're gonna have to try to find a gym down there. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to. Me and him are gonna have to find a gym.
Did you look to see like if they had any training facilities in Gatlinburg? I'm sure there's something.
There's probably mountain climbing facilities.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Now, what I usually do is I'll just wait and I'll get on my phone and I'll put in gyms near me and let it tell me where they're at, and then I'll do an Uber.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Yep.
The good news is he's got a lot of friends on the team, so you know the whole team's going. So it should still be fun, but it would have been more fun with my wife and kid there.
Oh, of
my
course.
Wife and the whole family.
Yeah. It's always fun. Plus, it's like a new place, it's a new experience. You want to share that.
Never been there before, you know, none of us have. So.
Yeah. Well, you go there, you guys scope it out, and I'm sure you're gonna love it. And then, boom, you come back for a family vacation, you know, rent a little cabin out there. It'll be a good time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. It'll be good.
What's the weather been like out there? Are you guys getting any? We're supposed to get snow here tomorrow for the first time, I heard.
Oh, yeah. We already had 2 inches, man. It's still sticking out. Yeah, it's sticking around. And now it's like bitter cold, dude. It's straight up winter here in Michigan. It's like 17 degrees. And then like a wind chill is like even worse.
Ooh.
But we got snow, man. It's there. Our trees are covered. Our brand new trees that our fucking neighbors hate. They're all covered with snow.
Oh yeah, your fucking neighbors. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So we're good, man. I mean, it's fucking. There's no fall. We didn't really get an autumn, which is sad because it's like my favorite time of the year. But it was just like it went from hot. To goddamn cold right away. We didn't get a transition or nothing.
That's exactly what we're having. It was hot, and then now it's almost in the 30s that quick. It's like 40. You know, it's dropping quickly. It's not fair.
We didn't really get any season change. And that's what people love in Michigan. Michigan is like, we love the season changes. You know, we'll put up with winter, but man, we love the spring. I don't care much more for summer. But when that autumn hits, man, the state is so beautiful. But we got like none of it this year, so it's too bad. You know.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to break out my Uggs and all my pumpkin spice shit. You know, still
packed.
You
didn't
get
to use your Starbucks gift card for your lattes.
Yep.
Oh so, shit.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man. Training's going pretty good right now. I mean, I'm pretty healthy. I'm still nursing my fucking elbow that I hurt like goddamn 2 months ago wrestling a dog. But other than that, things seem to be clicking pretty good.
Yeah, I heard you say you're even doing some squats and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Squatting is no problem. As long as I don't go too heavy, you know. And
yeah.
The key for me is actually don't go fucking crazy with the reps for legs. If I'm doing a compound lift, like a front squat or you know just a regular squat.
Yeah.
I don't go like I'll keep my reps between like four to eight reps max. I don't go like I don't push myself more than that. And I find out it looks better on me to do that. Like my legs,
right.
My legs don't get super depleted. They stay real full. And I haven't noticed any shrinkage. You know, not in my legs anyways. And everything has been actually growing, believe it or not. So yeah, doing
well. Well, if you're doing that and you're going pretty, you know, you're going moderately heavy, that's what's going to happen. Man, I wish I could squat more consistently. I it's my freaking lower back. It's not. It doesn't give me pain. It gets tight immediately in that position. It's
My
posture. I mean, it didn't do that when I was younger, so it's probably my age. But
do you put
it gets tight, and then if I do it. You know, it'll get like super tight, but not like pain. Do you know what I mean? Like
I know
tight.
It just gets like a retarded pump down there, right?
Yeah,
is that what
yes.
it is?
Yes. And, yeah. You know, and it happened to me this 2 days ago. I was doing legs, and even on leg presses, it was doing it. But you know what I heard? I don't know if I read this some, and it actually worked. I guess it was on. It might have been on Facebook. It might have been on one of the boards. It might have been on a show. I don't know where I heard it, but I read someone say this: that John Meadows said, if you get a back pump like that, do some crunches in between your sets.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah. That's true. Sure.
And I remembered that, and I had this like my lower back was just tight as shit, even from doing leg presses. And I promise you. I do not roll my lower back. I make sure I don't come down to where I'm rolling my lower back. I come down to where my body is full range of motion for me. But I was getting a little bit heavier, and I just felt like it was getting tight. I'm like, motherfucker. So I said, let me try. And I did. And God damn it, it helped. I did some crunches and did some like crunches between my when I was resting and just tightened up my abs real good. And after a couple of them, I could feel it sort of relax. I was like, shit. So that's something I might try. But – yeah, man, I can't fucking squat. And as soon as I get above like 225, my lower back it just tightens up, man. It's like it's not pain. It's not like it's like sciatica or anything like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a back pump, like you say.
Yep.
I can't figure out for the life of me. I go wide. I go narrow. I've changed my position. I just think I'm not really that good at squatting, to be honest. And that's probably.
It could. I mean, where's your foot position? That's usually the key. Do you go? How are you squatting?
Well, like, I notice when I go wider, it obviously does it less because then I'm making sure I'm engaging my glutes. And I know if I concentrate really hard on engaging my glutes, that it happens less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I probably have weak glutes. It's probably what it is.
You know what you ought to try is I know this is just more of a crutch than anything else, and it's probably not going to help you overall with you know with protecting your back or whatever, and you know probably excluding some of the muscles that would be helping you to kind of develop. Those back muscles that are getting too pumped up. But if you wanted to, you could try putting like a 5-pound plate under your heels and squatting from there. It changes the biomechanics. It just shifts all the tension to your quads and kind of your abdominals too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I only noticed that because over time I noticed that my ass is shrinking. You know,
mentioned that.
Yeah, and it's because of the way I've been squatting for the past 20 years. You know, it's just I've always been squatting quad heavy, and you can see it in my physique. I've got relatively decent quads, and then the rest of my legs are like a broomstick everywhere. You know? and now my ass is leaving me too. So I've got to change up my training too. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. If you change up your foot positioning, I think you can kind of limit that low back. Just give it a shot, see what you think. I don't know if you tried it before or not, but
yeah, I've tried it here and there, and then I'll get a
you heard something else?
I'll have a back issue, but then. And then I won't go back to it for a while. But when I hear people talking about squatting, I'm always like, I wish I could do that heavier, because I know I can go heavy. I just it's not the weirdest thing is, I wouldn't even, if someone said, do you have back pain, I wouldn't even describe it as pain. It's tightness, you know. It's like a fucking
it just gets overpumped, that's all.
But the crunch thing, I must say it did help a lot. Helped a lot. So
you know what, another thing you can do if you get those back pumps like that is the old school vacuum exercises. You got to do how Arnold used to do in the Encyclopedia of Modern Day Bodybuilding or whatever. He would show those vacuum exercises. Yeah, do those vacuum exercises, man. And even try to pull a vacuum as you're squatting. It'll really protect that low back. Rather than wearing a belt and pushing out the intra-abdominal pressure against the belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that.
Well, that's one thing I stopped doing. I haven't worn a belt in a while. In fact,
that'll hurt you too.
I don't even own a belt anymore. I lost it and I never went back to it.
Yeah. They're not necessary. I mean, for some people, they are. I mean, some people just have plain bad backs, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I'm not sure. Now that in retrospect, I wore a belt forever. I always wore a belt for everything. No, I'm not sure it really helped all that much, to be honest. I mean, just for me. I mean, because I do things, and I'm still doing the same thing, and I'm like, I did that without a belt. It didn't really make that much difference.
It changes you though too, because if you train with a belt for a long period of time, you've essentially changed the way that you train altogether, because the way that you press up against the belt with your stomach and with the intra-abdominal pressure and stuff, that is not there anymore once you take the belt off and you're doing other compound lifts and stuff. So you've got to retrain your entire core, you know? And that's when people get hurt, man. They get used to a certain intra-abdominal pressure against the belt when they're training with a belt all the time. They're wearing their belt on arm day, back day, leg day, chest day. You know what
I
mean?
And honestly, that was me.
That's a lot of bodybuilders. That's a lot of bodybuilders, Doc. I mean, you know, and you see it all the time. And as long as they continue training with that belt, it'll probably be okay. But, man, you've basically dedicated yourself to training with a belt now. And if you try to take that thing off, you're going to fuck yourself up.
Yeah, that was definitely me. Thank God I haven't messed myself up yet, though. But I also had – you're right, because now that when I do things, especially heavy lifts like bent over rows, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, I have to be super sort of focused.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, yeah.
Like I got to make sure my stomach's tight, my glutes are tight, everything's, you know, tight.
That's the beauty of compound lifts, though. You know what I mean? There's no crutches, no nothing. You make sure every muscle is tight that needs to be tight, and then you control that descent into a bottom position. It's a beautiful thing, man, because when they say it's a king of all builders, it really is, man. You're balancing, you know, 200-300 pounds on your back, on your traps, you know, that's not a natural thing. And then you're squatting down. It takes every muscle in your body to be able to do that, you know. If you use that belt, you're immediately negating your entire middle section of your body, you know.
I totally noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting, but you're better off now. The truth is, Doc, you don't really need to squat. I mean, for you, you've got nice legs. Your genetics are pretty damn good for your legs anyways. You could just probably sprints. You're right.
It's fun. It's fun.
That's
the thing. It's like, you know, I see somebody over there doing it. I'm like, I gotta do it. I'll do that. I'll do that in my next session.
And then I go. And you know, it's fun. You know, it's like, fuck, I wish I could do that. Yeah, I know. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun style of training.
That's what happens when you get old.
Yeah, yeah. you know. Talking about getting old, I was thinking about this too, because when you go over like a lot of the pictures of like the bodybuilders from the 80s and stuff and the 70s, and you see them as they kind of age, and once they hit in their 40s and stuff, you start to notice, man, their legs are kind of disappearing. You know, the upper body still looks pretty good, but those legs are just disappearing. And I think it has to do with the training style. I think as you get older, and this is just me, probably from fucking weed infused thoughts, but I think as you get older, you can't train your legs with the same intensity and volume that you could 10 years earlier. I think like the damage is done, and you've kind of wore out that option. And if you keep trying to match those that same kind of output time and time again, the legs And as you get older, your recovery goes down. You know what I mean? But these guys, they keep training the way they always known they have. So as a result, they're just going into more and more deficit, more deficit, more. They're not recovering. And then all of a sudden, you know, 10 years later, atrophy.
You get the opposite effect. You start to go backwards, right?
That's it. Yeah. So the key, and this is just spitballing here, but fuck, it's working for me. And I'll be 40 next year, and I, you know, put in a lot of like 25 years of intense training, you know, and I minus this year because I've been a complete puss. But this year I've grown the most out of everything. You know what I mean?
And you're probably resting more.
Scale back. Oh, I scale back my training.
Yeah.
I'm just having fun. I don't train past failure. I don't train if my joints hurt. You know what I mean? It's just like.
Yeah.
And then all those things are just like, I think my body's just catching up. Like all those many years of being in a deficit from training hard and not recovering. Now they're finally recovering and I'm fucking growing. You know what I mean? So it's like.
Yeah, you are. You have been, man. It's crazy.
When you get to this age, it's like you got to stop training hard. This is what it is. I think that's the key, man. You just got to stop training hard. You got to train intensely, shorter periods, get a pump, get the fuck out. That's all you need to do.
I agree with that because that's kind of what I do too. And yeah. I've noticed that, and I'm less sore. My knee joints don't hurt as much. My knees have been really good lately. That's what's making me want to squat, but I know my back's going to tighten up.
Oh yeah.
It's a fucking, you know.
I know. Catch 22. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad because a lot of times, like, I may be in, I've got a lot of clients in Iowa because that's just where I was for so many years.
Right.
And every time I go back, I always feel bad because I don't want to, I want to tell my clients, hey, I'm here. Let's go train this. But the fact is, I don't want them doing any of my workouts because I'm old and most of them are not. So they shouldn't be training. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you can't train like this and benefit from it right now. You still got to kind of put in your time, you know? So it's like if they come train with me at this point, they're going to be like, that's it? Is that really what I have to do? But that's not what I want to teach you. You know what I mean? That's not
– Yeah, exactly.
That's not the foundation that you need to lay right now. You can do that later. It's like sitting on an investment, Doc. It's like, you know, you invest $3 every day for the past 25 years. You know what I mean? In the end, you'll be sitting at 25 years later, you'll be sitting on a nice little fortune that you don't have to work too hard anymore. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how I'm kind of like putting this muscular gain later on in life. You know what I mean? It's like
it's all about longevity, really. Yeah, how do you keep it going? You know, you got to keep it going.
Yeah. If you invest early, the payoffs come when you're in your 40s or so. But if you're still working your ass off, you're going to fucking lose your body. Yeah.
Yep. You're going to fuck it up.
Yep.
Or get hurt or something.
Yep. So get some relax. You don't have to train that hard when you're in your 40s. Now that's a caveat, though. The caveat is if you've been training for like 25 years straight.
Right. I mean, if you're just starting out, you can't start out and train like a pussy like we do.
Yeah. But you can push. You can push, definitely. If your joints can take it, you know. Doc, we've got some questions here from the forum. What do you say we attack those?
Yeah, man, we got some questions, and I'm surprised that they're still there. I'm like, they probably thought we were like we quit or something. We're not quitting. We gotta get the schedules under control.
We got our life. We gotta get back to our life as podcasters and not this other real world bullshit.
Well, here's the good news for me is Stevie's football ends this weekend. So
there you go. It's over. That's a break, right?
I hate to say it because I'm a total like football dad. I'm relieved that it's because it's been a long.
It has been a long season, man. I've been watching you, and I've been – he's started, like every week you're doing something, you know?
He started –
he's got a wear on you.
He started practice with this team, this travel team, I think in March. And we've been going ever since March. His first full pad practice was July 3rd. We've been going, you know, since then, it's been constant on the road, driving Baltimore, Philly,
that's a long season. I mean, with the long practice and everything.
Now, I will say this. He does have a tournament next weekend too, the weekend after Thanksgiving, but it's here. It's in our hometown.
Oh,
so
thank God.
We don't have to travel, and that's the last one. That's the last one. But this one's the last time we have to go anywhere far, you know, sort of thing. So
yeah.
It's the whole weekend, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I know. Yeah, when it's over, that's –
But cool. You know what?
It's cool that he got to do that, but you know, as a parent, you're just like, man, I got, that's enough. Enough's enough. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The thing is, you're right. It's cool that he got to do it because he never did it before. And this is his last, this is our last hurrah. I mean, starting, he'd go to high school next year. I won't be able to do anything with him for football. It's going to be.
Yeah. It's good then. Yeah, I mean, you're getting it in now. Yeah? That's good bonding too.
There'll be no more me on the sideline at practice screaming, "What the fuck are you doing? You fucking missed that block, you piece of, you know."
I'm berating your child.
How do you miss everybody. That fucking block, bro? Take the pads off.
You'll never amount to anything. You're a failure. God,
I can't lie. I'm horrible. I'm fucking like. Hard on the kid, man. Yeah, I'm like, how do you miss that shit? You see what happens when you miss a block? Yeah. You know, but he's been dealing with it since he was five.
You just go off on the sidelines. You're just one of those crazy parents.
Yeah, I'm only crazy to him, though. I'm not like the crazy parent that wants to fight the ref, the coach, or other parents. I'm only crazy to my kid.
What are you doing? Like, when you miss that block, you make terrible life choices.
Yeah. I'm like, this is it. You must not want it that bad. We're taking the fucking pads off. Well, and you're never coming back.
It looks like I'm raising a criminal. You're going to jail at some point. This is my fault. I'm sorry.
Sometimes he'll come over to me and he'll be like, "Don't say a word."
Oh, man. I would be such a terrible parent. I'd be saying some crazy
shit. And then we drive home and he'll be like, you know, but I also tell him how far. I also praise him when he does. We're supposed to be getting to our questions, but now you just got me. This is what I think about being a parent of a kid who plays sports. And I see a lot. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I've been doing this now with him since he was five. I've seen a lot of parents come and go. This league this year was a new experience for us, being that the travel thing is, so the league he played in his whole life until now was a league that had a rule for playing time, 8 plays. Everyone, even if they were the worst, got 8 plays. Mm-hmm. So you would end up, and I was coaching that whole time in that league. So you would end up with kids who honestly shouldn't even have been playing sports at all. They're just, they got 2 left feet. You can't figure out a place to put them. They're not big enough to be a lineman. They're not fast enough to run the ball. They can't throw, they can't catch. You know, you get my point, but you have to get them in the game at least 8 times. And if not, these parents, you know, and they're always inevitably the kids with the parents who think their son Johnny should be a quarterback.
Yeah, of course. That's usually how it is.
And so, you know, I was never like that with my son. I've always let him earn it. And I've always, you know, he does his thing, and his thing is playing center. And that's what he's always done. He's fucking good at it. He just got better at it. But in this new league, I felt like, you know, he got to see what it was like to play with really good kids.
And
he had some times where he was getting his ass kicked, getting beat.
That's good, man. See? You got to introduce your kids to the freaks and let them know that, hey, there are phenoms out here. And if you think you're on that level, you know, this is going to be a good test for you.
And that's what it was like. And it's been like that. And that's why I've been harder on him. Like, bro. Mm-hmm. You can't be the one to let the team down. You can't miss that fucking block. You know what I mean? Like, you were brought here for a reason. You were brought here to play. They brought you here because of what you do. You can't be fucking slacking. You can't be missing blocks. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll go back to the other league.
Yeah.
You know,
if you want. Yeah. But yeah. You miss another block, I'm going to sign your ass up for badminton. And then it's over. Forget it. No more football.
But I've always been like that with him. And I've always told him. But here's the other thing. I've always praised him when he's done good too. I tell him, look, I'm gonna fucking ride your ass if you fuck up. But I'm also, he knows when he does good that I'm his biggest fan. I don't play that shit. Like, especially my one thing I always told my kids, and I'll say this, and they will vouch for it. And my daughter, when she tried out for lacrosse and never played it before, when she was in ninth grade just a couple years ago, and I told him, you don't have to be the most talented player, but you don't go there and be a fucking slacker. Mm-hmm. You better bust your ass, be the hardest worker, and you'll always get playing time. And that is the facts.
Mm-hmm. That's the facts, for real, yeah.
And you'll see these parents, too, whose kids not only are not that good, you know, and their kids jogging and, you know, between plays, and their kids crying when he's running the lap, but they want them to be the starting tight end. I mean, you know, like,
Yeah.
You gotta man them up, man. Like, yo, we got to go. So – and it's been good this year because he was kind of starting to be one of them kids that was the super dominant kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was, you know, you look like he was good. And that's because of the type of talent that he's playing against. He's got some really good kids, but a lot of kids that probably shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
go to a league like this, you're playing against kids on another level. Now, like just like this weekend, we're going down to Tennessee. There's going to be teams from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And that's why at practice last night, he missed a block and I was up his ass and he was mad at me about it. But I said, look, we're not going down here 9 hours to fucking lose, bro. Like, I'm trying to win. So
yeah, and those teams, if you're going to Tennessee, that means there's teams coming from the South. And those teams from the South are going to fuck you up.
Yeah, they're good. You got California, you got Tennessee.
Alabama, Mississippi, yeah, Georgia, they take their football extra serious and they'll fuck you up.
And that's why last night at practice he missed a block and I got on him and I said the reason why I got on you because it looked like you were slacking. I don't play that. Don't fucking you work hard every play. You're going to get someone killed if you miss a block against somebody's these better kids from this other state. So
could happen, yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant on parenting in sports.
Do like, better.
You know, be realistic with your fucking kid, how good they are.
Yeah. Yes.
And tell them to earn their fucking spot, not try to make the coach put them in, you know, and that's what I've always done with my kids.
Yeah, for real.
If they suck, they suck. It is what it is.
But yep,
if
they can
play, if they want to play and still have fun, then, you know, don't complain about the playing time shit.
I hear you. That's it. That's that. I mean, that's how we all did it in the 80s. Nobody does that anymore. Everyone's fucking holding their hands, you know.
When I played football coming up, I never knew the leagues didn't have playing rules. We didn't have time. Your kid has to be on the field at least 8, 9, 10 times. Mine did. If you sucked, you sat the bench. And that
dude, we had so many people sitting on the bench, and our team was fucking small. I was playing. Yeah. I was playing all teams, dude. I was offense, defense, special teams.
Exactly.
And there was these, you know, there's like 12, 14 kids on the bench doing jack shit. Because if they go on the field, they're going to get killed. The coaches knew it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was in the other league. But, you know, you're forced to put them in there.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you put them in, they get hurt. Or you know, the other team scores because they see you put them in at the, you know, right at the corner. They you put a kid at cornerback for a play, and they're going right at him if they know that he's got to stop.
Yeah. You smell that shit. You can smell weakness.
But this league's been different. This league is pretty much, there's no playing time. So pretty much across the board, the kids that play are all pretty good. So you have to step the game up. But it's been fun, man. It's been challenging. It's been different. So
that's it.
He'll be ready for high school, and that was my goal.
That's how you raise a proper kid. You're not one of these whining, entitled millennials, right?
Exactly.
Doc, we've got, I had a, of course, you can go to forum.advicesradio.com and try to post your questions over there. We are officially cutting off the Gmail, right?
Yeah.
We're not answering no more Gmail anymore.
I'm not getting anything in there.
Good.
Spam now, which is fine. We like the forums better because we can pull it right up. We don't have to stress over.
Oh, it's so much easier. So much nicer. And I guess we have one question here that this fellow, he tried to post it to the forum for whatever reason. It didn't stick, but he took a screenshot of it. So it's proof that he actually tried. So, and then he sent it to me on Instagram. So I was like, you know what? He tried. It didn't work out for him. I don't know why, but I'll read his question anyways. So
cool.
This is actually technically from the forums, although missing. So, hey there, 1.9 doctors.
Shit.
It'll be eventually, you know, clinical muscle, one doctor and one RN, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll definitely know my place below you, doc. And I'll be like, if I get a question, I'll be like, well, I'm going to refer this to the doctor because I'm not one.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be answering all these questions.
Yeah, hell no.
Yeah. So he says,
my brain. Tired. I sometimes have to let you. I'm like, you got to answer that.
I can make something up. That's for sure.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Around 6 months ago, I did a pro hormone cycle, Epistane and Trenivar. The cycle lasted about 6 weeks and then PCT of Clomid. After PCT or at the end of PCT, I had sensitive nipples and eventually a small lump under each nipple. I tried Letrozole. That had no impact on the lumps and tried DIM, DIM as well. And I'm still supplementing with DIM now. I have just started low dosing Anavar or if fake, more likely Winstrol at 20 milligrams a day. And the lumps have almost gone. I have had blood tests done and I'm awaiting results. The bloods were done before Anavar. Why do you think the Anavar is reducing the lumps? Or you might think it's Winstrol. We don't know. And any idea or suggestions for when I finish up on the Anavar? Okay, so we don't have bloods here, so we don't know what was causing the gyno at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't even know those pro hormones were still around. So yeah. I'm thinking this is a question from 1999.
No, 2006. Yeah, 2006.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. So he got some gyno symptoms off that pro hormone cycle, and he took Letrozole, and he took what else?
You know what happened? He got the gyno after. After even his PCT was up. So essentially, most likely, this is obviously got to be estrogen related. There's, you know, if you're following the timeline and you understand anything about hormones and his PCT, if he's using, you know what I mean, the chances are he just didn't give himself long enough for rest, for break. And, you know, is estrogen. Here's the thing, man. If you're gonna take only Clomid after a PCT, you're kind of leaving everything else to chance. Okay. Right. Because Clomid is going to bind. Estrogen receptors, mostly within the hypothalamus, or mostly across the blood-brain barrier, and a little bit, only a little bit, as a CIRM in the nipple area for guys. Okay, it has very light affinity attachments to those glandular receptors for estrogen. Apparently, to block the estrogen, you got to manage your overall estrogen. Your turnover is going to be incredible. If your body's responding correctly, that means your testosterone is going to go up after a cycle. Hopefully it'll come back, but as it comes back, your estrogen is going to turn over like a motherfucker. All right,
that's what I was trying to figure out. To me, it sounded like this was later, and so it probably was a rebound. It probably was his rebound estrogen spike in
absolutely.
And he was only using Clomid, right? At that time, he wasn't using Arimidex or anything else.
He tried Letrozole once the lumps had already formed, but I don't know what he said. It had no impact on the lumps.
Huh?
Yeah.
So my thinking was, he's asking why is the quote Anavar doing it? I'm not sure that's doing anything with that. I'm thinking it's because it's just time. His things are probably more balanced out, and the lumps are just going down. It was that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Also, you know, if Anavar is a DHT derivative, sometimes people can be pretty sensitive to a lack of DHT in their body. A lack of DHT can cause a gyno symptoms too. So you know, sometimes the people, I've seen it when people have taken DHT derived hormones like Anavar, Winstrol, Masteron, Primo, not so much fucking Anadrol. It's a kind of a beast all on its own. But a lot of people, when they take those and they have some gyno symptoms, a lot of times it can bring those gyno symptoms right down. But again, that has a lot to do with aromatase inhibition, most likely.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think like Doc said, it's got to be a time issue. Your body's finally kind of balancing out. I don't think it was the Anavar or the Winstrol that kind of shrunk the lumps. I don't think it hurt. I think it may have helped a tiny bit just because of their natural, you know, aromatase blockage. But I think that's the case here.
And one thing, you know, with this sort of scenario too, is now that you've had that problem happen, you're going to have to be more mindful of that in the future because it's there. It's still there.
It's there.
It's going to flare back up on you if you don't manage your estrogens and things like that appropriately with whatever your supplements are.
Yep. For sure. It's there. Once it's there, it's there, and it will blow back up. You gotta be careful.
I'm still curious if he had these bottles laying in his cupboard for like 10 years.
Epistane and Trinivar, I think they're Blackstone Labs products, and I think that they were released, I want to say, maybe 4 years ago. Three, 4 years ago they were kind of raging at the time when Blackstone Labs was first trying to kind of get off. So I think he got them then and just probably stuck around. I think I've got some old stuff too. I've got some old Super DMZ 2.0.
Oh, shit, really?
I don't use it. It just sits there. I don't like it, you know?
Yeah. So
I should probably just give it away. But at this point, that's basically giving away, like, drugs, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's illegal. Yeah.
Which that's makes me, which makes, what that would make me not really a drug dealer, but more of like a drug Santa Claus, right?
The gift of drugs. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a it's like a gift. I'm not charging nothing for it. I'm just, you know, sprinkling drugs all over the place just for freely.
Yeah,
here's some hormones. Enjoy.
Oh, shit.
It's
funny.
All right, from the Advices Radio Network page, it's forum.advicesradio.com. There's a link there for bodybuilding and discussion. Click on that. And then you've got, you know, all of your, you've got all your shows that you can ask questions on. There's like Clinical Muscle. By the way, Clinical Muscle thread is the most viewed thread in the bodybuilding discussion thing, just so you know.
Really?
We've got the most views, man. I looked at it this morning. I was, we were right at the top. You know, someone must have just, you know, put a question up or something.
Yeah.
But I looked at the numbers. I was like, whoa, we're ahead. How is that happening?
I don't know.
We haven't even recorded a show in fucking 9 weeks, you know?
Right.
All right. So from the page here, let's hit the next question here, Doc. Hey, Docs, I need an opinion of what you think may be causing my ass some vertigo. All right, so he's got vertigo, not his ass. I woke up at 1 in the morning to piss, and the room was spinning out of control. I felt like I was going to fall over. It's day 3 now, and I'm still dizzy, but not like that one morning. My blood sugar and blood pressure are on point, so it's not that. I'm hydrated, so it's not that. I have not started any new supplements, and diet is still the same, so I cannot figure this shit out. Any ideas? If it does go away, who would be the specialist for this to see? An ENT or something? Thanks, guys.
Sure. So, yeah, all the stuff he mentioned with vertigo is doesn't surprise me that it's normal. So vertigo is basically the sensation of, you know, spinning or movement, you know, or, you know, motion sickness, like if you're on a boat. And there's several, you know, there's a ton of causes. Most of them are benign. In fact, the most common cause is called benign positional vertigo, BPPV, or something like that. And that happens because in our inner ear, we have these little semicircular canals. We have fluid in there. We have some little hairs in there. And we have these little crystals in there that help us sense movement. Occasionally, this is just one cause. Occasionally, for whatever reason, one of those little crystals can break loose. And particularly when you're laying down and you move your head certain ways, that little thing will move around. And eventually, they dissolve and go away. And you sort of so your body will then sense movement. It doesn't know if you're moving or if that little crystal's moving. So it sends you into a tizzy. You turn your head and it's trying to track your you back to the midline. Your eyes, if you get a chance to look at someone who's having true vertigo, we do some tests on them and we move their head a certain position and we look at their eyes and seeing if they're having nystagmus, which is jumping. Your eyeballs will be jumping side to side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because your body's trying to find a fixed midline. So that's one cause, benign positional vertigo. Second call, you know, well, some of the more common causes, and this time of year, I don't know where this guy lives, but if he were living in my area, another cause would be labyrinthitis, which is usually a viral inner ear infection. Labyrinthitis, again, a virus, cold type thing is, you know, you get a little cold, it gets in your ears, it irritates your balance center, your sensory nerves and all that good stuff. And again, your nerves irritate it. It can't tell if it's irritated or if you're on a roller coaster, you know, so you move your head a certain way and it's trying to straighten you back up. And that's where the dizziness comes in. Some other more, so they're probably the two most common. I've seen it a lot. And if you read about it, you won't really see it, but just in my clinical experience, when people get like sinus infections, upper respiratory infections, I've seen them get some vertigo just from being congested too. You know? Some of the more obscure type things are something like Meniere's disease, but that's usually coupled with hearing loss, tinnitus or ringing in the ear, and then vertigo. Those three symptoms, if they're together, you got to think about this Meniere's disease. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what's going on with him? I would say it's probably either a bout of benign positional vertigo or he has some labyrinthitis. Everything else is normal.
Yeah.
Probably will go away on its own. He said it was already 3 days. And what I would prescribe to him would be a medicine called meclizine or antivert. You can buy that over the counter, I believe, in most states anyway. And it's basically an antihistamine. And that generally sort of helps the symptoms until you know, the vertigo goes away because it's self-limiting in most cases. Now, some people can get really bad chronic vertigo.
I've seen that too in patients.
To the point where they're having it for weeks and they're puking and they're dehydrated. And when they come in like that, we give them sedation, Ativan, things to help them with their nausea, Phenergan, Zofran, things like that, and load them up basically and have them sleep it off, to be honest, until it finally goes away. In his case, I bet it's a cold or just a little benign positional vertigo. You know, of course, if you had a recent head injury or something, that's a different story. You need to get that looked at.
Yeah, most of the time, in most cases, it's usually viral. It's usually
mostly a cold in your ear.
Yeah.
But if it were to continue and happen multiple times and over and over and over again, then the answer is you're right. You should go see an otolaryngologist, an ENT doctor, who would help you with that. The first thing they probably would do is just CAT scan your head to make sure there's nothing crazy going on. And then they probably would send you to physical therapy.
Yeah.
Because that's the most effective sort of chronic maintenance treatment, is doing some sort of vertigo exercises. There are exercises you can do to help, you know, sort of make your body used to the vertigo. Is kind of the best way you kind of, it's I don't know how else to say it, but yeah, there's
gotcha. Exercises. Yeah.
And the meclizine as needed. That would be the treatment, to be honest. So
all right.
I think you're probably fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Most likely. I got nothing to add, Doc. That was nailed it. Next question from the boards. This one's a little long. I looked at the blood work pre-game, so I've got an idea here already, but let's...
Yeah, because it's quite a bit.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on here with this one patient. So let's just read what he has to say, and then we'll go from there. A bit of a long story here. Around July 2015, I had some off... I had just come off a higher-than-HRT cycle, mostly test, and I began to have aching in my right testicle. Sometimes the ache spread to the bladder area. After my primary care physician did some tests to rule things out, he sent me to a urologist. The urologist looked at me for 5 minutes and said I had a kidney stone, and the pain was referred pain from that. On September 6, 2017, I had a 6-millimeter calcium oxalate kidney stone removed from the distal end of my right ureter. Ouch! Via a uteroscopy. Man, that sucks. After the recovery and having the stent taken out, my pain went away. All right, so we're good. Flash forward, August 1st, 2018. I had just come off a contest prep, competed July 21st, and was down to HRT levels again. I got the identical testicular pain as last year, so I assumed I had another kidney stone. Ultrasound showed nothing, but a CT scan showed 1 or 2 3-millimeter stones. Yeah, ultrasounds, typically, they're not going to show anything. A scan would. You know, ultrasounds kind of like a therapy.
They're not great for that.
No. 3-millimeter stones in the mid-pole of my right kidney. When I finally got to talk to the urologist about this, she told me the stones were definitely not the cause of my pain, which is weird since I felt so similar. She thinks I am eating/drinking something to irritate the lining of my bladder. She recommended quitting coffee and reducing water intake. I had been pounding water and taking Tamsulosin.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking I would be able to pass the kidney stone. As she put it, the 3-millimeter stone is too small to treat or worry about. Okay, but I have the pain, but I'd like the pain to go away. It's mostly an ache in my bladder, not a sharp pain, and never in the kidney area. In addition to the fresh blood, for the fresh blood work, which I'll post here, I have results from a 24-hour urine capture done in August, if that helps. These blood results seem pretty normal to me. Globulin is low, hemoglobin and hematocrit are high, but I'm overdue to give blood. PSA normal range, but I'm not worried about the trend. But I'm worried about the trend, he says. I'm currently 1.6, but back up to 2015. All right, so anything else you think might be going on here, Doc, with him? It's pretty involved case.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a tough one, and to be sure, for sure, because there's so many things that could potentially be going on. But I'll just give some thoughts in my head. If this patient came to me, I'd probably be like, oh, shit. You've had a lot of stuff done already and we haven't found anything. Mm-hmm. That's a tough case to solve.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through his scenario. 6-millimeter calcium oxalate stone removed. That one would definitely cause pain. Anything above 5 millimeters generally won't pass on its own. And if it moves into the distal ureter like it did, you're going to be fucked. You're going to have problems. So that's the reason to treat that. I agree. I also agree that a 3-millimeter stone in the pole of the kidney generally causes no problem, no issues, no pain. You know, you shouldn't put it this way. If you CAT scanned, 100 people just for no reason, you're probably going to find, I'm not quoting numbers because I don't do statistics, but, a good bit of them are going to have some kind of kidney stone that they don't know about, and it's going to be small and it's there and it's not going to go anywhere ever. So I agree with this doc. Maybe I don't agree the way she put it to him, because it sounds like he was like, what? You know, the 3-millimeter stone generally is not problematic. I mean, I can't say for sure. We're all different, but I've seen – I'm going to say – I don't know. I've seen thousands maybe or more of CAT scan reports in my life. Believe it or not, I've seen maybe – I don't even know. I mean, I've looked at thousands of reports of, tests in my life. And I don't – and I've seen that scenario thousands of times. 3-millimeter stone, right pole to kidney, blah, 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 And everyone – me, the radiologist, blah, 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 we just kind of say, hey, that's probably not a problem. Same goes for gallstones. Lots of people have a couple gallstones in their gallbladder, but they're not having symptoms. You don't worry about it. But, okay, so that's that. I agree with his doctor. Sounds like he was taking some stuff to try to get rid of that, and it's probably not going to force it out because it's not ready to move. So, which is a good thing, because if it does move, then you will have pain, but it will only cause pain if it's in the ureter. Once it starts creeping down the ureter, that's when we get pain. Mm-hmm. It drops into the bladder. Now it's in a big space, right? So then the pain goes away temporarily until you piss it back out. It tries to come out the urethra. Then you have pain again. So a 3-millimeter stone probably isn't the problem. Looked at his blood work. I agree with him. There's nothing alarming. His creatinine was a little bit elevated, 1.33, which made his GFR a little bit low. I'm not looking at it right now. I'm just doing this off my memory. Mm-hmm. 1.33. He has a bodybuilder muscle. So that's probably not a big issue. His age too, could make that a little bit lower. Could have been a little dry that day, but that's not that big of an issue. Hemoglobin, hematocrit, that's not going to cause pain. He does need to get that taken care of. Although I would consider his level 17 point something high end of like normal-ish. So he's not in any immediate danger there either. Now, I agree with him about his PSA, and I didn't notice that. So I'm glad he mentioned it, because if at first glance I saw his PSA at 1.6, I'd say, no prostate problems. But he said in 2015 his PSA was 0.83. So it's almost doubled in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little concerning, honestly, because I've actually had patients with normal PSAs and prostate cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a urologist. He already saw one. I would suspect they would have looked at that and got maybe, thought about it. But I would make sure that you point that out to him or her, because that is a little concerning. Remember, we're looking for trends in blood work all the time. Not just blatant numbers. At least we shouldn't be, especially with something like PSA. PSA is a non-specific test, man. It's not that great.
Yeah, it is not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a good trending tool, but it definitely shouldn't be. It shouldn't be our only guide for prostate cancer detection. And
I wonder if this patient has had a digital exam.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. He went to a urologist. I'm hoping somebody would have done that.
You got to stick a finger up there.
But yeah, that is a little concerning. But I will tell you that where he's just, this is just my sort of opinion for entertainment and educational purposes only, his pain in his bladder area, which I'm thinking, since I can't examine him, right? He's pointing bladder. I'm assuming he knows his anatomy, right?
Yeah.
So his bladder would be what we call suprapubic, right? It would be sort of the area between your fucking pubic bone and your belly button.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right in that 4-inch area.
Right in the middle of your bush if you let it grow out.
If you're hairy.
Yeah, right. If you're hairy.
You got a hairy bush and a little trail up your belly button.
Right in the middle. Pubic.
Yep. Yeah. So, prostate, even prostate BPH, benign prostatic hypertrophy, generally wouldn't cause pain in that area unless your bladder was being super distended because you're having urinary retention.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to get abdominal pain in that area. But generally, even if you have prostate cancer, if anything, you probably would get pain in your taint region.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah, you're right.
If your prostate's getting a little swollen, irritated, large, because that's where your prostate is. It's right in that area right there. If you had to dissect, you actually dissect, you know, and that's what we did in medical school. We dissect up there to find the prostate. But anyway, so that's a little concerning, but, you know, I don't think that's causing pain. So really, I think they've done a lot. The only thing that – so now I'm thinking outside the box.
It seems like they've ruled out most of the things that were pretty relatively important other than a digital exam that we don't know about.
The only thing that pops in my head in a person with this scenario that's been relatively thoroughly worked up. So they did a – so you might say, well, did they look inside his bladder? And I almost – my first – when I read this, I thought he needs to get a cystoscope done. But he did because he had the ureteroscopy done, mm-hmm. which means they went through his penis, up his bladder, into the ureter. So they looked all around in his bladder to make sure there was no tumors, cancers, or anything like that, I'm sure. So his bladder is free and clear of anything. It has to be. There's no strictures in his penis. They would have saw that. So now I'm starting to think his urinary tract has been thoroughly investigated. Could there be anything else there? And the only other thing I can think of, and this may be totally asinine or maybe something to think about, we're talking about a person who's athletic, a person who lifts heavy weights, a person who, you know, probably does lots of lower abdominal exercises. You know, sports hernias do not show up on CAT scan. And that's exactly the kind of pain you would get. A burning, aching, searing pain. Sports hernias do not show up as bulges. They're not holes. They're tears in the fibers of the lower abdominal area. And they aren't that good at being picked up on anything but an MRI. I would start to think outside the box like that.
Yeah, he's going to have to.
I don't think he has bladder cancer. I don't think he has a kidney. I don't think the kidney stones are causing his problems.
I doubt it's even a prostate issue, even though that should probably be checked out anyway.
Yeah, they should definitely take a look at this prostate more thoroughly to make sure he doesn't have an early prostate cancer. But then it depends on the staging, and that's a whole nother ballgame. But, I mean, I can't think of anything else organ-wise. Look, I think he's had a CAT scan. Now, he's had a CAT scan. He had to have a CAT scan to look at the CAT scan. He said that, right? He had a CAT scan. So here's the other thing. Now, I would like to know if he had any other CAT scans besides the CAT scan for the kidney stone, because here's why. CT kidney stone protocol is not with dye. We don't do that. It's not enhanced. Mm-hmm. It's a plain CT. So if you had some kind of mass or something else inside your belly region, that may not show up on that kind of CAT scan because we don't enhance it with dye. So somebody, if you're looking for tumors or masses or cancers or things like that or something else going on, you'd want to do a CT with and without oral and IV contrast. That as opposed to a plain CT scan, if what I would write would be kidney stone protocol, which is not enhanced. And the reason why is because all you're looking for is that little shiny white spot coming through his ureter. We don't care about anything else. So everything else is sort of grayed out and dulled. So maybe you want to get a different kind of CAT scan, make them rule out any other kind of weird shit going on. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever had a colonoscopy. You know, we can have colon pain in our lower abdomen, God forbid. But for me, I was thinking, got to start thinking muscle things too. So anyway, it's a tough case. We're here for fun and we're helping a little bit, but this is that's a tough one.
It is a tough one. It's a tough one because these are mysterious pains. And when there's mysterious pains, man, it could be goddamn anything. And you'll go through a battery of tests to figure it out and we'll never figure it out. Sometimes that's just the way it gets laid out, man. But
yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe it could be some kind of nerve problem. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Listen, I've seen something very similar to this. And it turns out, I mean, it didn't turn out to be anything, but my theory at the time was that, you know, it's an older gentleman, all right, messing around with some hormones, mostly just testosterone. But when you come on and you come off, you know, the balls are relatively resilient. Your testicles are relatively resilient. But, man, over time, they take a beating if you're an older guy. And by supplementing hormones, then coming off hormones, you're relying on your body to get back some kind of normalcy. So your testicular cells will shrink up a little bit and then they'll bloom in size as they begin to function again. As they bloom in size, it sometimes that can cause a little bit of discomfort and sometimes some pain. You know, you'll get testicular pain because they're technically inflamed. They're inflamed. They're trying to function again. They're trying to work again. And sometimes that's all it is, man. It's just testicular pain because your balls are trying to turn back on. And I don't have any proof for that. It's just it's just a matter of understanding hormonal fluctuations and what happens to a guy, you know, once the hormones come back. And a lot of times, sometimes I'll say I've had like 3-4 clients now. They're older. Stop the cycle. Nuts start hurting 8 weeks, 9 weeks later. Why?
Hey, that is just as reasonable as anything, because, you know, now that you say that, think of the anatomy where he's getting the pain.
Right.
You know, the spermatic cord runs directly from your lower inguinal ring, right?
Yep,
that pain would refer right up the inguinal, right up the spermatic cord if that was giving him some kind of inflammation or swelling, right to his lower abdominal, right where he's having pain. So that's just, I mean, that's a great thought too. I mean, sometimes when I do my medicine, it doesn't always have to come from a book. You have to think, you know, use common sense sometimes.
That's
just as good thought as anything, because like I said, a lot of his studies are pretty normal. And which is a good thing for him. Look, you don't have cancer as far as we know. That's a good thing, right? I mean, that's a good thought.
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be us, you know, assuming. And I only say that because all the other blood work looks relatively normal. What he's told us so far seems inconsequential, you know. And so that's the only other thing that I can think of that would kind of ring a bell for me. I look at his total testosterone. It's not high end. It's not even mid range, really. It's kind of little bit on the lower side for a guy that's kind of been cycling on and off. So, you know, it could be a fact that his body's still trying to turn that shit on. And yeah, man, cells will go through cell death and cell life and turning them back on. And sometimes that can cause pain, man. It just does. That's just the way it is. Just like fucking like bone remodeling. Sometimes bone remodeling can hurt you. You know, I've got this pain. Like these kids, they go through growth stages. Why are my bones hurting? Why are my legs hurting? You know, it's like you're growing. Bones are remodeling. Your cells are remodeling. Sometimes when your cells remodel, man, you get to be aching, you know?
Heck yeah. Kids get growing pains all the time too,
Yep. Kids get sore balls too, man. I remember, you know. I don't know if that's because I wasn't, you know, jerking off when I probably should have been or something when I was a kid.
balls are getting chronic blue balls.
Why are my balls hurting so bad? I don't understand. What's my dick for anyways? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man.
Then you figure it out and you can't leave it alone.
you're draining them constantly all over the place.
Hey, is this normal?
Oh, man. Oh, well, hey, just, you know, keep an eye on it and let us know what happens with it all, man. A lot of times it's something real simple, you know. Hey, docs, I'm on a doctor prescribed testosterone cream. I usually order a 3-month supply at a time from this clinic. Last year I moved and thought I lost the box with my 3-month supply of cream. I recently found the box, but creams are now 9 months expired. Can I still use them? Will they be effective? Yes, you can still use them. Yes, they'll still be effective. 9 months, nothing.
Yeah, I get this question a lot from some patients and people, and you know, generally those dates they have to put on medications
legally they got to put something on there for
it's like going to the grocery store and buying beef and it says sell by. You know, if they don't put that on there, shit, they could sell anything, but they legally they have to do that. Those medicines are good for you know, I mean, something like that's good for. I mean, I don't know how long it's good for, but it's good for a long time. So yeah, 9 months isn't nothing, man. If they probably would sell it if they could get away with it, you know.
Yeah, it's nothing.
And you know, the only thing if it was 2 years and you still wanted to use it, I mean, maybe the only thing would lose was efficacy a little bit. It's not gonna get bad. And I tell people that about other medications. I'm like, look, maybe it won't be as efficacious a little bit, but it's not going to lose. It doesn't just disintegrate.
You know when you leave, like I just saw this. We had Iranian food, like Persian food yesterday, or not yesterday, the day before yesterday, and they have this drink. It's like a very ethnic drink that the only Iranians drink, but it's a yogurt soda. You know, and what happens is, like, over time, the yogurt all kind of fucking floats to the bottom, and then it separates. What happens? You know what I mean? It separates.
Yeah.
You got to shake it up, and it's good to go again. It's the same. It's the same thing as these medications that have kind of been sitting around, and especially creams. You know, the heavier particles will kind of float to the bottom or get compressed to the bottom. Lighter particles, you move to the top. Best thing you can do is just stick your finger in there and shake it up, mix it up, man.
Stir it around, shake it up, squeeze it, whatever.
And then it should be good to go. It's no reason why it should not be still, you know, effective at this point. Next question from the boards. Question for the doc. A buddy of mine posed a question, and with all the misinformation on the internet, I wanted to come to the experts for an answer. Well, you've come to the wrong place, but we'll give you something.
There's another forum for that.
You should have asked Dr. Stevenson. He says, this person says he is having cold sweats, cold night sweats, and using 400 milligrams NPP a week. He's also using 400 milligrams of test E per week alongside. What do you think the potential cause of this could be? Thanks, as always. I love listening to Dr. Ogden and Dr. Veej so much. Oh, well, thank you for the question. Thank you for saying that, making us feel good. But now you're going to get an answer that you may not like.
You know what, Veej? I'm going to let you attack this one because I honestly only have one answer, and it's really brief. So
You know, here's the thing. I think that his either his body, this person's body, reacts the same way to NPP as it would to say Tren, both, you know, they're both 19 NOR related derived hormones, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, he may actually have Tren. And they're labeling it as NPP. You know, there is that possibility also. But chances are, most likely, it's a 19 NOR kind of a side effect that people only experience with mostly Tren. You know, I can see you have an effect with NPP too if you're that sensitive to the 19 NOR derived hormones. But that is kind of it's a kind of a weird side effect that happens with these. I don't know if it has to do with dopamine release or dopamine inhibition. There's a weird path there that leads to night sweats, and it's not really thyroid related. It's not,
right.
You know, it's just a kind of like a weird. Oh God, it's almost like when you get sick and you break out into a fever and you break out into a sweat. You know, you break the fever.
You know, that leads me. So that's basically what my answer is, it's probably some type of hormone fluctuation, stuff like that, you know, same type of reaction you get from Tren. But my bigger concern with questions like this, that's always sort of like, is, you know, I don't know this guy. I don't know his med history. I don't know what he's doing else. I don't know if he's got some other issue going on. Like, you know, when I hear night sweats, I think of infection. You know, like people come to me and say, man, I've lost 20 pounds and I'm having night sweats. I'm thinking you have cancer or HIV, you know, so,
right.
You know, that's a hard thing to say. But if we could just say for the sake of the show that this guy's perfectly healthy otherwise and he's not taking anything else and he's not, you know, taking Lantus or doing Novolog 2 hours before he goes to bed. Like a shot of rapid insulin and not eating, because then maybe he's going hypoglycemic. So there's so many different variables with answers to questions like this. But if we're just focused on the hormones, to me, it would just be what you said. It's a hormone fluctuation. Same kind of thing happens with Tren. It's probably the NPP that's doing it, because 400 milligrams of testosterone, if that's what he's doing, it's 400 NPB, 400 milligrams of testosterone. I mean, generally, even in some places, you could use that as a TRT dose at the max. That's like the max level legally prescribable, is about 400 a week. So I don't think that would cause any sort of
So
I would focus on that. And I'll, you know, like I said, we always have to be careful what we say. We don't know this guy's history, but yeah, I mean, it's probably like Veej nailed it. That's why I let him answer. But just, you know, make sure your buddy's not doing anything else, because he's not, you know, having fevers for no reason, or losing weight, or, you know, he doesn't use IV drugs. There's so many things you can think about when someone mentions night sweats. Yeah. I need to know more. But anyway.
And chances are, it's like a lot of times night sweats can come from just a large bolus release of androgen. Just an androgen.
Has he put on 20 pounds since he's been using this? Maybe it's just because he's fatter and sweatier.
I don't know. We don't know.
No, seriously, there's a lot of things that could happen with that, you know?
Yeah. I noticed that sometimes, like, if I was experimenting with, like, a dose of testosterone, or, like, using, like, a really quick a testosterone base, you know, like the suspension, the old school
like
suspension.
Like or something.
Like a
no-ester type thing.
Yes, test no-ester. If I tried that, a lot of the times, man, I would get breakout into cold sweats within minutes of the injection. It could be just a huge influx, a bolus influx of high androgen content in the blood. a lot of the times that you know, and that can have, that's almost like an immune response too. You know what I mean? It's like there's way right. too much.
Yeah. And that's why whenever you hear night sweats, you know, in general, if a person comes to the office and, you know, that in even in the urgent care and they told me they're having night sweats, I mean, the first thing I think about is infection or immune problems. And in his case, it's probably hormonal.
Definitely hormonal. It's just the exact mechanism of what the sweats, the source of the sweats is. It could be, you know, variable, very variable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's like you said, you never know when people are dabbling with things like this and they're getting it from underground sources and wherever. And we're assuming, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he has a doctor who prescribes that NPP to him. I don't know. But you never know what you're going to get. Yeah, you know, maybe God forbid, you know, he could be getting transient bacteremia because his gear's dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, yeah. I mean, I'm going crazy right now, but I could, when you mention night sweats, there's just so much stuff. And, you know, if he said it started and he was on Trenace or something, a Trenbolone or Finip or something like that, you would automatically go, yeah, that's what it is. But, well, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I mean, as long as he's healthy and nothing else is going on, it's probably just
keep an eye on it. And
hormonal fluctuations.
Those sweats could really continue. They really shouldn't. And if they do continue throughout the cycle all the time, and your body's not cut out for those 19 NORs, get rid of them. Don't even use them.
Yes, you get off. Yeah.
Something, because that's not a normal thing, man. I understand if it happens for like the first 4 or 5 weeks, you know, and then your body kind of adjusts and then, okay, we're good to go after that. But through the entire cycle, your body is telling you something and you got to listen.
Yep.
You know what? You know, we had remember our patient with the nuts hurting.
The lower stomach.
Yeah, we've got an update here.
So an update.
Yeah, an update. It was lower on the thing. I didn't even see it. So he says, update on my issue. I reduced my caffeine intake to almost zero. It will be zero by the end of the week. I tried various anti-inflammatories and allergenic things. With very limited success. I'm drinking decaf green tea, which is supposed to be alkaline, in case too much acidic food is the issue. Nothing really helps long term. My bladder aches or stings pretty much every day, and the majority of the hours of the day, I'm wondering if it could be stress related. Yes, of course. I began a new, impossibly difficult job around the same time the pain started. Dude, stress can do so much negative stuff to you. And it can manifest in actual physical pain. Absolutely.
And this leads me to my crazy hype out of the box thought about a sports hernia type issue with getting an MRI is, I wonder what kind of job he has. Is he lifting all day, or is he sitting all day in a crouched position where his lower abs are getting, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, so yeah, but definitely, yeah, stress can do all kinds. We call that somatization. It's when you're stressed out to the point, or you're having some kind of issue to the point where you start to have physiologic symptoms related to whatever.
Here's the deal: when you have an area of your body, could be anywhere, that is chronically kind of not as great maybe as the rest of your body. Everyone has their nagging injuries, you know.
Yeah, my whole body's in that game.
Well, yeah, okay. And if you get super stressed out, your whole fucking body's going to hurt if your whole body's a nagging injury. That's just the way it works, man. If I get super duper stressed out, my hips hurt, my knees hurt, my elbows hurt. But those are areas that always kind of, you know, they're nagging areas anyways. They have been for the past decade, you know. So those areas are always going to be the first to feel that sort of stress-related pain. And it's, you know, this patient has had obviously nut pain for a while, going back a couple of years now. So that's a weak area now for him, you know. So yeah, and stress will definitely reinvigorate that pain.
Yeah, and he did use the as far as the pain description, he used stings several times. And that makes me – like I mentioned nerve issues, and sometimes – I mean that's something to think about too, because stinging pain could be a nerve issue of some kind. I don't know exactly what, but so anyway, yeah, tough one.
Yeah. Okay, last question here from the boards, Doc. Hello, Docs. I've been using hyaluronic acid as an SEO, so most likely this is like a Metaform type product. So it's injectable, and before I get – judgment for using SEOs, I have damaged muscle that now looks like a pretzel, and I'm trying to fix the shape. So I started feeling symptoms like fever, nausea, and headaches. I feel like shit. Googling hyaluronic acid side effects, I found that all those symptoms are side effects of hyaluronic acid. Okay. It could be an infection, but I don't have any redness or swelling at the site of injection. I've been using it for about a month, maybe a month and a week, and maybe it reached toxic levels in my body. Either way, I wanted to share this with everyone so they watch for it when they use hyaluronic acid. Of course, I'm stopping all use of hyaluronic acid. Thank you for all your knowledge. This person should never get cosmetic lip injectables.
Yeah, no, definitely don't. And you know, yeah. This is a good scenario. And first of all, I think people should be over the judgment for SEOs. Look, you know how many people use that shit. So let's stop fine. That. You know, there's more people using that shit than we'll ever admit. So nobody's going to judge you for that. At least I don't. It is what it is. You want to do it, do it. It's whatever. But here's my concern too. And he's right. And this is what I would be worried about. A lot of these SEOs, you know, these are. You know, they're not getting made by high-level pharmaceutical companies, right? I mean, most of the time. At least I don't think they are. No. I mean, I don't know a lot about them, but the ones I do know of, they're not like high-level, you know, Upjohn producing whatever. Right. Pfizer. It's not Pfizer.
It's not Johnson & Johnson Metaform.
So, you know, most of them are supposed to be inert, blah, blah. But yeah, my concern when somebody would have a symptom like this would be just a reaction to hyaluronic acid. Or, yeah, you don't need to have – so I was just a couple of questions ago about the night sweats and stuff like that. So he mentioned, well, I don't have any redness at the injection site, which would be fine, but that would be more of a local. But if you were injecting something that was tainted with bacteria, you could also be getting a transient bacteremia. Like, you don't necessarily have to be just a localized. It could branch off and get in your and give your body a little flu type symptom, and that's not good either because that bacteria could end up anywhere. So, you got to be careful of this kind of stuff, you know. And yeah, like you said, my first thing when he said that was stop it, but I didn't read the whole question, so he's already smarter than us. He stopped it. Don't use it ever again. You don't need it probably.
Yeah, man. It's just it's a foreign body. When you start injecting it into different muscles and stuff, it's a foreign body. And anytime you inject a foreign body into a muscle cell with a healthy immune system, your body's just going to attack the shit out of it.
Yeah. And that goes for even in vaccines. A lot of people
vaccines.
Go, I got a flu shot Thursday and on Monday I have a fever. I got sick from the vaccine. No. The flu vaccine didn't make you sick. Your body saw the vaccine and ramped up your immune system, which is giving you a flu-like illness while it's developing the proper antibodies to fight that. That's it. Revved up. Your immune system is now revved up, and that's what it's supposed to do. It doesn't happen to everybody, but that's what you're getting when you get a flu shot, and 3 days later you think you got the flu from it, which you can't.
because
it's not alive, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that's just maybe the same kind of scenario. So, yeah, you're right. You did a good job. Stay off the shit. Thanks for sharing that, and you don't probably need it anyway.
Yeah, it's not ever going to help you. It can't, because your body obviously has some sort of allergy to it. It's not going to work. It's not going to work unless your body makes it. It's of course all of our joints have hyaluronic acid in it. That's a base of a joint lubrication, technically, you know. And so we make that, but we make a certain blend of it, I guess, and this. You know, this outside source of hyaluronic acid isn't matching up with your own. So this shit is never going to work for you. All right. So it's good. Good that you figured that out now. Doc, that's it for all the questions this week.
Woohoo!
We got through it, and we finally recorded episode number – I don't even know what the fuck. We're in the 30s though, I think.
We're in the 30s for advices, but we're in the way more than that because
we've
been doing this for a while,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, probably double. I would say double.
Some people probably don't even remember the evolution of clinical muscle.
That's right.
Started off with medical muscle.
ProjectBodybuilding.com.
ProjectBodybuilding.com. Me and Mind Rod. And Mind Rod came up with this crackamamie idea to get me on here and answer some questions. And then
– it stuck. We're still doing it.
and we're still here.
Yeah.
And it went through me and McNally and now you. And you finally were the one that didn't divorce me.
Ah, and it'll never happen. I'm too loyal. Yeah. I would let things go real bad and get real ugly, you know?
But that won't happen between us.
I know.
we're too late. It's not gonna happen. So guys, keep posting questions. We are definitely not quitting the show. We are still friends. You know, we didn't have a love spat or anything like that. No. So clinical muscle is alive and well. We're just kind of a busy adults.
Unfortunately.
Who don't who have find less and less time to do childish things.
Yeah, like just dude, I couldn't even like if I had kids now, right now. That's I couldn't even imagine that. I would not have time. It's like being adult. You got to be double the adult if you've got kids. You know, it's like for me, I'm basically just still 13. You know, but I've got responsibilities. You know,
we've been doing this so long now. My kids will even be like, when's the last time you recorded a show?
Yeah, bro? They'll remind you. Yeah. Hey, you're slacking. Get on it there.
So keep posting up the questions. We'll keep giving the answers. We'll try to be more consistent as things get along here, you know, and hopefully in Easter, we'll do an Easter show and I'll be recording from my new basement.
Ooh, that'll be great, man. That'll be the new podcast room. That would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
No one bothered you. You got to put like a pop refrigerator down there just for like, you know, diet cans. No. Maybe a fountain drink or something, you know?
The new basement has a full bar with a sink, dishwasher, refrigerator, cabinets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I put the high-end bar down there, granite countertop. It's going to look pretty dope.
Nice, nice.
Then as long as I don't have to pay for two houses at the same time, then I might have to sell it and stay here.
Yeah. That could happen. It's always a possibility.
I know. And you
it won't. It won't happen. But it's a possibility, man. You never know. You never know what will happen.
The good news is, the minute it gets built, it's going to be worth more than it is right now. So I would at least be able to sell it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good. That's good because like we built ours, you know, a while back. Yeah. And then fucking life threw us a fucking change up, you know?
Yeah. I'm hoping that doesn't happen on Clinical Muscle twice.
Me too. Oh, man. So good. Not good. Not good. All right, Doc. Hey, on that note, we got to get moving. And, you know, if you got a question, just put it up on the board because we got no more email anymore. It's defunct. It's got to go through the forum now. So on that note, man, the doctors are out.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Later.